Let us go to the Lord again in prayer. Holy Father, we come before you and thank you that you rule in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And yet at the same time, knowing that we are ignorant of a lot of things that you allow to go on in this world. But we also know that your judgment is real. Man in the garden plunged the whole human race into sin. We read in history of nations and their wickedness and how that various other nations through wars and turmoils and fightings, horrible crimes were committed. All because of their wickedness and your judgment. Israel, your favored nation, in times past, refused to obey your word and keep your commandments, and you brought various destructions upon them, even to the point where women were actually eating their own children. And we saw it not only in Old Testament times, but history tells us it was repeated in 70 AD. And we read in your word that the nation that forgets you shall be turned into hell. And we believe that we're verily seeing that before our own eyes. Horrible atrocities. Horrible atrocities in many ways. Many, many businesses have gone out of existence because of people rioting and looting. Thousands of acres of property are being consumed by fires that are being set, and lives are being taken, and other properties are being vandalized. We know that you could stop this. Oh God, that you would send a spirit of revival and cause the hearts that are hardened against righteousness and justice and peace to be at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an astounding thing. And in our eyes, what a tremendous testimony of your grace and your power and your mercy. Nevertheless, you are a just and holy God too. We don't know what all the outcome will be, but we ask and plead for mercy. We ask that our own hearts be tendered to seek your face, endeavoring to worship you more, to draw nigh to you, to commune in fellowship with you on a daily basis. We thank you for the blessing to assemble together, though we be a small group, but we do not, we trust, take this for granted. And so we ask our God that you would watch over, guide, and protect and keep us by your grace, and bless us in the continuance of this worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Coming back to Revelation chapter 2, looking at the congregation at Thyatira, I want to reread these verses, taken up in verse 18 and reading through the end of the chapter. And unto the angel of the congregation in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the congregation shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the congregations. We looked somewhat at this last Lord's Day, the first part of it, and we want to now take up Jezebel per se. And as you know, that he is using Jezebel and liking and using her to describe a woman preacher, what it amounts to. Women, this congregation, they had some good things going for them, and in fact, as we read, he tells them to hold fast. There were some in the congregation that were holding on to the things and on to the doctrine, and they did not want to put up with this woman preacher, but it appeared that they were somewhat weakened. But what I want us to do is to go back and study a little bit about Jezebel herself in the Old Testament. We will be looking at 1 Kings chapter 16, 18, and 19. We won't be looking at all those verses, but verses in those. And then in 2 Kings chapter 9. And what we're going to see that Jezebel was the mother of whoredom, harlotry, fornication, seduction, witchcraft, and murder. Now, that's a quite graphic description and quite a condemning description of a person. And yet it is such a person that our Lord used to designate a woman preacher or a woman trying to exercise a position in the house of God that God didn't give to them. And this is a common practice in congregations throughout our nation. And it's no wonder that God would turn our nation over to destruction just because of the lack of faithfulness in congregations that profess to be Christian. But let's take up Jezebel. First, we'll look at 1 Kings 16. And we'll read verses 30 through 33. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Now that's bad in itself. In all those wicked kings of Israel, Ahab was worse than all of them. And we read in our scripture reading of how Israel came about because Solomon was not faithful and because he gave in to wicked women and worshiped idols, then God rent the kingdom from Solomon, particularly in Solomon's son's day, and gave 10 of the 12 tribes to rip them away from Solomon or the house of Solomon and created Israel, and the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, of course, Judah and Simeon, wrapped up into one. They were called Judah. And so of all of those wicked kings in the northern kingdoms, we find here that Ahab was the worst. But we're going to find before it's over with that Jezebel made him worse than what he was. As if that could be. Verse 31, and it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And I also want to go ahead and read Well, I said I was going to read 33, didn't I? And Ahab made a grove and did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Now, the center of Baal worship, I was allowed to see when I was in Syria in 1972. And I can tell you that we didn't have to go there to find this out, but it just all kinds of filth and wickedness and ungodliness went on there. And some of the ceremonies and some of the festivities that have gone on for decades in our own country during the Mardi Gras came out of Baal worship. It came out of Baal worship. So there's, you don't have to wonder why it was so wicked. So Jezebel was a Baal worshiper, a sex goddess, or a worshiper of sex, much like this country is a worshiper of sex. They sell everything from bathroom tissue to cereal to cars, you name it, sex is involved in it some way or the other. All you have to do is watch the advertisements that they put on public media and on magazines and everything else. This country is given over to sex craves. Turn to the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, and we find that Jezebel was a woman that wanted to kill God's prophets. And you'll find that when women get into authority, they want to kill the authority of God. They want to kill the authority of God. And in 1 Kings 18, we're actually reading some of the things that Obadiah did. And well, I want to start at verse 1. I'll just start at verse 1. I'm going to read, down verses 4 and 13, but I'm going to start at verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came unto Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Now, if you will remember that for 3.5 years, it hadn't rained. How do we know it's 3.5 years? We find that in the book of James. And we also find in the book of James, and when you study all of this, God had God's prophet, Elijah, praying all this time. He didn't just pray one prayer and it stopped raining for 3.5 years. He was praying during that 3.5 years that it not rain. And we don't have time to look into all of that from 1 Kings and James and everything. What would you think if I were to start praying that it not rain for 3.5 years? And while it was not raining, I kept asking God to not send rain. That's what was happening. And then God sends Elijah to Ahab to tell him that it's going to rain. And you'll remember, by the way, that after Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal, and after he killed the prophets of Baal, you remember he went up on Mount Carmel and he prayed for it to rain. And how long did he pray for it to rain? He kept praying until the rain came. He didn't just pray one prayer. God told him it was going to rain. What would we do if God were to say it's going to rain? We'd probably say, well, we'll just sit back in our chair and wait for it to rain. I believe that's a sign of how lack of spirituality that we have. But anyway, taking up in verse 2, and Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. So all I wanted out of verse 4 was, Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. She did not want to hear the truth. And when you talk about the place of women in the house of God today, hardly anybody wants to hear the truth about that. Oh, you're just being a chauvinist. You're just being a woman hater. If a woman has a great gifts and she's able to teach and do all of these wonderful things, why not let her? We can learn a lot of things from women. Well, we can learn a lot from women. But that's not the point. The point is what God said. And we're going to get to that in the New Testament, hopefully this morning. But my point is, you can see the parallel with Jezebel and modern day so-called Christianity. Then we won't take the time to read all of this, but read down to verse 13. Obadiah is still talking. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 50 by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? So we see that Jezebel, not only a Baal worshiper, she hated God's men. She hated God's prophets and killed them, if at all possible. In 1 Kings 18 and verse 19, we see that she fed the prophets of Baal. She had her own state priests. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So you see, Jezebel being the queen, she had her state preachers. She had her state prophets. She fed them at her table. In other words, these preachers were preachers that wanted to go along with the government and do whatever the government said to do, under the guise of worship, the Baal worship. So she was a Baal worshiper. She tried to kill, she cut off the prophets of the Lord, and she supported the prophets of Baal. Not only that, she wanted Elijah's head. Look at 1 Kings 19. After Ahab had challenged and killed the prophets of Baal, 1 Kings 19, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets of with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, personal note, send him a personal text message, if you will. So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. 24 hours, you're dead, what she said. Of course, she didn't get to do that, but that was her intention. She sought to kill Elijah. Of course, God took care of Elijah. But then she unjustly killed Naboth and robbed him of his inheritance. Look at 1 Kings 21. 1 Kings 21. Here you see this wicked king was an effeminate king. We start at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, the king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. You see, Naboth knew the word of God. When the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan and the land was divided out, God said, this is going to be your inheritance forever. You're not to sell your inheritance. And so Naboth, he wasn't being stubborn. He wasn't being hard-headed. He wasn't trying to just get at the king. He was just doing what God told him to do. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Ahab was so put out, he went home, went to bed, and wouldn't eat. Poor Ahab. He was a mean man, but he had no backbone. He had no character. Like a lot of politicians today, like a lot of preachers today. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? What's wrong with you? And he said unto her, because I spake to Naboth the Jezreelite. And he said, and said to him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. See, Ahab wasn't clear on that, was it? He didn't say God forbid that he should have it. He said, Ahab, he won't give it to me. I can't have my own way. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Aren't you the king? Get up, eat bread, let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. I'll get it for you. If you can't do it, I can. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling in Naboth. Now we're going to see the wicked judges, the elders of the city. Wicked judges. And she proclaimed in letters, saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and let two men, sons of Belial, children of the devil, in other words, sons of Belial before him, to hear witnesses against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men, and the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles, see, your rich men, your noblemen, your elders, your city councilmen, nothing new under the sun, is it? Who were the inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them. And as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them, they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. There came two men, children of Belial, and set before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him. In other words, they were paid off liars. Sound familiar? What are we studying? We're studying a woman that God describes as a Jezebel, that's a leader in the house of God. When a woman becomes a leader in the house of God, she's like this. This is what God thinks of her. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. Of course, we know Elijah met him down there. But we're just focusing on Jesse. All right? Now, we talked about how wicked Ahab was, didn't we? He was more wicked than any of the other kings before him. But notice in verse 25... of this same chapter, 1 Kings 21. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. In other words, if Ahab wasn't bad enough, Jezebel come along and made him worse. Now look in 2 Kings chapter 9. Now we know that Elijah had told Ahab that he was going to be killed, and he was shortly afterwards. I think it was somewhere around 3 years. It seems like it was around 10 or 20 years, I forget which. It was several years later. But Elijah said, someday the dogs are going to eat Jezebel. And Jezebel had a dung funeral. We're going to read about it. That's pretty graphic. But Ahab had died. Other kings came on the throne. Jezebel's son was there. Jehu was anointed to go and clean out the house of Ahab. In 2 Kings 9, verse 22. Now let's see. Seemed like I was going to read some more out of here first. Well, I guess we need to kind of go on. And it, 2 Kings 9:22, and it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are many." And Jehu drove on into the city. I do want to drop on down in verse 30. "And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window." Well, she wanted to try to look good. She wanted to try to look like a harlot, in other words. "As Jehu entered in at the gate, he said, 'Had Zimri peace who slew his master?' And he lifted up his face to the window and said, 'Who is on my side? Who?' And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs, and he said, 'Throw her down.' So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot." In other words, he was in a chariot with a horse, and he just run over her. "And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, 'Go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter.' And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, 'This is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, In the portion of Jezreel shall the dogs eat the flesh of Jezreel.'" Now notice this. "And the carcass of Jezreel shall be as dung, dog dung, upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel." Now for God to send a message to a congregation of His and say, "I've got something against you. You've got a Jezebel. That's strong condemnation, isn't it? Strong condemnation. Ephesus could spot a false prophet on the spot. Thyatira, just the opposite, not only had a false prophet, but a woman minister. She called herself a prophetess. She called herself a prophetess. Now, a prophet is a valid New Testament gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And God hath set some in the congregation, first apostles, secondarily prophet. This is a gift. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, and so on. Romans chapter 12. All we're doing is just showing that this is a valid ministry. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So there was a gift that was given early in the establishing of God's congregation, a gift called the prophet. The prophet. And while the New Testament prophet could predict the future, their general function was just an inspired teacher. Let's see where they could predict the future in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Acts 11, 27 and 28. In these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So they told about a drought that was going to come, and it came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. But in 1 Corinthians 14, we see that the prophet basic ministry was just teaching the Word of God. Sometimes we say it this way: a prophet could be a foreteller, but oftentimes he's nothing more than a forth teller. In other words, he speaks forth the Word of God. But in 1 Corinthians 14, starting at verse 1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. He that speaketh in a tongue, that's not an unknown tongue, it just means a language that somebody didn't know. But anyway, I don't want to get off into all of that. Speaking not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, to comfort. See, that's what a prophet does. He's not just telling the future. He's speaking in a way that it edifies, it builds you up, It exhorts you, if need be. He comforts you, preaching the word. He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifies the church. He's teaching the church. He's building the church up. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may be edified. Now, immediately, when you point out passages like this, someone is going to say, well, what about Philip's daughters? Turn to Acts 21. What about Philip's daughters? Well, I don't want anybody to think that I'm trying to cover up something, so we'll address it. Acts chapter 21, verse 9. Well, let's read verse 8, get some of the context. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist. You remember him, which was one of the seven. There was one of the seven that was ordained to be a deacon in Acts chapter 6. He's the one that went down to Samaria and preached, and then later preached to the eunuch. You know, baptized him out in the desert. All right? And abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Aha! Uh-huh. So there are women prophets. They were. But they did not prophesy in the congregation. Probably did it in their homes or some other place. But not in the congregation. How do we know that? First of all, go back to 1 Corinthians 14. We were talking about prophets there. In 1 Corinthians 14, we'll take up at verse 29. Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold their peace. For ye all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. In other words, he's saying here that when you're having a worship service and you have a prophet and prophets speak, no more than three are to speak. Two or three, and then one by one, that is one at a time. You don't have two or three people speaking at the same time in a worship service. You say, well, you know, sometimes the Spirit just gets hold of somebody and they just have to say something. Look at the next verse. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. If the Spirit gets a hold of them, they just have to say something, then the prophet would be subject to the Spirit. That means that a man can rule his own spirit. See that? All right. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all congregations of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the congregations. Not only in the congregation at Corinth at that time, but in all congregations, the women are to keep silence, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Where is that they are not to speak? In the congregation. Well, you're just being mean. No, I'm just reading God's word. Well, I don't believe that's right. Then you don't believe God's word. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is shame for women to speak in the congregation. I read that to a woman one time, and she said, well, if I were to ask my husband, he wasn't a church member where she was a member, and so I don't know whether he was even, he might have been a member of another denomination at one time. I don't know. He went with her all the time to their worship service. But anyway, she said, well, if I were to ask him, he wouldn't answer me. I said, how do you know? Have you ever asked him? She said, no. If that's not enough, look in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Now, Paul wrote this letter to Timothy for him to teach in the house of God. In fact, he said in the third chapter, I'm going to read in a second, he said, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the congregation of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. But in 1 Timothy 2, as he is teaching about women and their role, verse 11 says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Why is it that the woman is to rank under her husband? Is because God made man first. He didn't make a man-woman combination. He made a man. Then he made a woman. And he said that the woman is to be submissive to her husband. And because of the place of women, men are to be leaders. And when men quit being leaders and they are spineless, women take over. When men will not take the leadership role as they ought, the women will take over. And Adam, verse 14, was not deceived. He knew exactly what he was doing. But the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. So, yes, there were some prophetesses in the New Testament, in New Testament times, like Philip's daughters, and no doubt spoke maybe in homes or something of that nature, in a private way, but not in the congregation of the Lord. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. And it's quite plain. It's plain in 1 Corinthians 14 and in 1 Timothy 2 that a woman is not to be in leadership role in the house of God. And to allow that to do, or to allow that to be, causes the woman to act like Jezebel. Serious business, isn't it? Serious business. Well, remember, the early congregations did not have all of the books of the Bible. And like the letter of Revelation, it was sent to seven different assemblies. And remember in Revelation 1:3, it says, blessed is he that reads the book, and blessed are those that hear the words, and blessed are those who keep the sayings. And so the prophets were men who had special gifts to remember and teach or remind the people what the letter said. Men that had special talents. You know, some people, they have a photographic memory. And that's a great blessing. Some people, they can hear something and they could just, you know, it latches on to them. Well, these prophets were men kind of like that. This letter would be read to them. They could hear it and they could relate it back to the congregation and teach them for edification, for exhortation, for comfort, as we read in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, I believe. They spoke forth the word of God. They didn't prophesy, foretell the future. They just told the word of God and spoke it. I've got a verse down here, Ephesians 3:5. I don't remember exactly why I put it down. Ephesians 3:5. Oh, yes. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by his Spirit. In other words, the gospel is revealed, the New Testament, in the New Testament times, to God's apostles and prophets. And so the prophets, when the gospel was revealed to them, they were able to retain it and tell it to the people and to teach it to them. We have the Bible. Now we have it written down for us. This woman, Jezebel, that was in this congregation, professed to have this special insight and drew a following. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about her this afternoon. The clock's caught up with me now. But I think from what we've seen so far, it's a serious thing for women not to be in the role where God has placed them. And I've never seen a woman that was out of her place that was happy. She always had a mean spirit about her. She wasn't happy. And anyone around her usually wasn't happy. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you for your word. Quite clear. We would not have made some of the statements that we made if your word did not teach it. And whether we understand it all or not, we are to bow to thus saith the word of God. Help us in this place to continue to hold fast. I thank you for the godly women of this congregation who not only know their role but are happy in living the role that you have assigned unto them. Precious women indeed. and we thank you for them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.